And as we just mentioned, it's expected the Treasurer's economic statement will be released tomorrow. Chris Bowen to outline how the federal government will fix a reported $20 billion revenue hole and return the budget to a surplus in 4 years' time. As he searches for new savings, he's now made a brave pledge that they won't come from superannuation. But critics say ring-fencing super from tax changes is unfair, particularly as people on lower incomes look set, as we just discussed, to be slugged with yet another increase in tobacco taxes. Our business editor Cheryl Bagwell reports.
Well, the Treasurer Chris Bowen is thought to be staring down a $20 billion budget black hole, but he's decided not to fill it by plundering the generous tax concessions afforded to superannuation.
From now on, there won't be the annual speculation in the media about what an annual budget might or might not do to superannuation tax. I know this speculation concerns the Australian people, and I know that what has become to be seen as regular changes under governments of all persuasions to the superannuation system have been undermining confidence and certainty in Australia's very important superannuation sector.
Well, it was certainly more than I was expecting.
Jeremy Cooper is the chair of a government expert group charged with writing a new charter for superannuation policy.
The Treasurer has really accepted the key ideas in the report, that there be a superannuation charter and that there'd be an independent council of guardians to administer the principles in the charter. But on top of that, he's also announced if the Rudd government is re-elected, then part of the package that creates the council on the charter would also include this idea that there'll be no major changes to superannuation tax policy for a five-year period, as I understand it, effectively starting today.
Jeremy Cooper, who's also head of retirement incomes at Challenger, says Labor's pledge will give Australians confidence to keep investing in super.
There's been so much change, particularly in the tax area, and indeed in the report we devote a page setting out all the different changes that have gone on over the last 6 or 7 years, and it really just, it's all about confidence. If people understand that there's not going to be a whole lot of changes, they can participate more confidently in their superannuation.
The move means both major parties now have pledged to keep their hands off super, with the coalition promising no unexpected detrimental changes to superannuation policy should it win government. John Brogdon is chief executive of the Financial Services Council, which represents large private sector super funds. He says he's happy that super has now been neutralised as an election issue.
Look, I think it has, and I sure hope it has, because people don't want uncertainty in superannuation. I mean, we've got to stop and realise that the government forces people to invest 9 on the way to 12% of their salary every day of the week into superannuation. In order to do that, you have to have confidence, and you don't want it to be a political football. So we do now have surety from the coalition and surety from the government that there won't be major change to superannuation over a decent period of time. We really welcome that. We think the public will welcome that, and we hope it takes it out of not simply the election cycle, but more particularly the budget cycle.
It's also a big win for the industry. Ahead of the May budget, the former Gillard government had been considering carving back some of the generous tax concessions granted to super to help fund some of its big ticket policies, like Gonski and the NDIS. But those plans were dropped when the industry threatened to mount a pre-election multi-million dollar ad campaign against the proposed changes. John Brogdon again.
Well, it was only a few months ago now that we warned the government that if they kept making changes, we would run a large advertising campaign to garner public support to stop endless changes to superannuation. So if the industry's warnings to the government meant that they backed off and started listening to the industry on behalf of consumers and have agreed to leave superannuation alone and take it out of the campaign, that's a great thing.
Critics, though, say it's another example of the $1.5 trillion super industry flexing its substantial muscle. Richard Dennis is Executive Director of the Australia Institute.
You can understand why the Rudd government might not want to jump straight into trying to solve this problem, but clearly the superannuation industry is again threatening to do what it very publicly threatened to do only a couple of months ago, which is tear down any government that tries to take its honeypot off it.
It's also a substantial honeypot for those able to afford to plough a lot of their savings into their superannuation accounts. Earlier this year, Treasury forecast that the value of super tax breaks would hit $32 billion this year, rising to $45 billion in 2015, or more than the current spending on the age pension. Richard Dennis says no government trying to repair its budget should be quarantining super from scrutiny.
It's a remarkable announcement. I mean, the cost of tax concessions for superannuation are not only the largest but the fastest growing area of government expenditure. So for a government that says it's concerned about the budget bottom line to promise to not look at this issue for 5 years is remarkable, and particularly so on a day where the Business Council is urging the government to think big about reform and to rein in government expenditure. You'd think the Business Council would be up in arms about the government's announcement today as well.
It certainly means the government has to find other ways to plug the widening revenue shortfalls and pay for expensive new policies like its PNG asylum seeker solution. Richard Dennis says it's ironic that the government is reportedly considering raising cigarette taxes, which he says will inevitably hurt those on lower incomes more than the well-off.
There's no doubt that low-income earners who smoke are far less politically powerful than the superannuation industry that delivers so many tax concessions for the wealthiest Australians. So while I've got no problem with tobacco taxation being part of the policy armoury, to suggest that the only place that governments can find revenue is by slugging smokers while we leave those with the most alone seems as inefficient as it is inequitable.
The Financial Services Council's John Brogdon, though, rejects the argument that super tax concessions are just a rort for the rich.
I say to those people they're wrong. What they don't understand is we have a compulsory system that forces people to save for their retirement. They have no choice to opt out. It needs to be a system that has certainty. It needs to be a system that has incentives, and in this case, that means tax concessions. And most particularly, it has to be a system that's left alone so it can mature.
That's John Brogdon, the Chief Executive of the Financial Services Council, ending that report from our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell. And Richard Dennis's view that the lower paid who may smoke more have less political clout is not necessarily a view shared with Inside Labor. Some Inside Labor who suggest that the last time they had a big hike in cigarette taxes, it actually hurt them on the ground in Western Sydney, for one. News coming up after the news, Jim Maxwell previews the third test. It's 8 o'clock.